I don't know. All right. So here we are at CJ's kitchen table. There are five of us. I can't even say the names right now. But we are using the brand new Fantastic Snowball microphone, courtesy of the Energizer Bunny. Yeah. Who is to my left, and then to my other left, is Retro. To my other left is CJ, and then all the way around the left to my right is Dan Charette of the Out of the Coffin podcast, actually, yeah. I should say. So I don't have a bell to ding, and you know,
ding.
We'll leave that up to T. Morris. But we are here, actually, for discussion of The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. So this is the perfect occasion. Actually, the Energizer Bunny came all the way from Canada for this.
That's right.
Yes.
Just for this. Nothing else.
And actually, I must say that CJ's laptop is covered with stickers, and there's nothing that puts me in a hitchhiker's mode like Princess. Disney
princesses.
Like Belle and Cinderella.
It's a Hello Kitty.
And a Hello Kitty.
Yeah. And right there.
And Deadpan is the
one. There's a Deadpan
sticker. But anyway, so CJ, you wanted to read something, right? Is that me?
Well, yeah, but did you mark
didn't,
the spot?
Oh, no,
well, I don't know how long it is.
You said the first paragraph.
do you want to show me?
Show her how long it is, Jack.
I've been waiting forever. It's actually in here. It's kind of long, but far out in the uncharted backwaters of the unfashionable end of the western spiral arm of the galaxy lies a small, unregarded yellow sun. Sun.
Slam.
Orbiting this at a distance of roughly 98 million miles is an utterly insignificant little blue-green planet whose ape-descended life forms are so amazingly primitive that they still think digital watches are a pretty neat idea. I love that paragraph. That's all there is. Yeah.
And that's the beginning of the book. So
that is the very first paragraph.
It's better from there.
That's actually also the beginning of the fourth book. Spoiler, sorry, Rhett. That's also.
Damn it.
Oh, by the way, Rhett, we're going to be doing a lot of spoilers.
Yeah,
which is
the
fourth book.
The fourth book is
so
long and thanks
for all the
fish.
Restaurant at the end of the universe, the second book.
Yes.
And the fifth book is Young Zaphod Goes to College.
The fifth one is mostly harmless.
Young Zaphod Plays It Safe.
I have a Young Zaphod Goes to College book.
Really?
Yeah. Well, it's part of a book that I have.
Young Zaphod Plays It
Safe
is a short story.
Okay, that's something I have about college. I don't know. It's been a while.
I haven't read that.
I have like some big leather bound. I should have brought it out.
Yeah, I should have got out.
Leather bound edition of it.
I brought mine too. We should have busted them out.
Anyway.
But yeah, Young Zaphod Plays It Safe is a really bizarre short story that took place after book four. Yeah, and then Mostly Harmless, which everybody hates. And then there's the sixth book, which none of us have read.
No.
Right. No.
Well, no,
I started listening to it.
No, I haven't read it.
Yeah.
Right. I want to go there. I'm actually not quite done. As of this recording, I'm not quite done with rereading Mostly Harmless, but I intend to read Owen Colfer's sixth book, which is called And Another Thing, right?
Yes.
Yes. I have it. I haven't read it.
It's very much maligned, but, you know, he's a funny guy and a funny author. He's actually kind of a YA author, so it's pretty interesting. Mm-hmm. Interesting to hear. Actually, Artemis Fowl is full of fart jokes. So
Perfectly.
Artemis answered. Fowl, didn't we see that guy? Is that the guy that we saw at the Comic-Con that did the thing? Where he was talking and he was asking everybody, what was your favorite book?
No.
Okay.
Because that never happens at a convention where people talk.
No. But Owen Colfer did come to Phoenix, and actually I took my kids to see him. And there were a lot of people, actually. This is relevant. This is not just me blathering incoherently after a long work week. There were about half the people were there with that book. So the Hitchhiker's contingent is such a strong underground thing, but it's very strong. So I guess I don't really have a lot of structure here. I had a good conversation with Vanamond about this, but let's go around. I guess let's talk about our own experiences with Hitchhiker's Guide, and then we'll start. I guess why not go clockwise to my left?
Say what? Our own experiences? Oh, well, when I first read the book, I was just a young thing, and you would not know how it made me feel.
So, Red, what would you No, I'm giving you your own take on it. You've heard these paloozas before.
Yeah, well, I've kind of been in a unique situation because I'm only about a fourth into the book and about a fourth into the radio plays.
That was me smacking Red upside the head.
There you go. So, but I can talk a little bit about my, you know, I can remember being young in the late 70s, and all my friends had read Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, and I remember Pierce Anthony also being immensely popular as a kind of a comedic author at the time that was really popular. And for whatever reason, I never thought, well, you know, that was something I wanted to look at. But I was also involved in a lot of Infocom games and was familiar with, is it Steve Merkowitz, the Infocom?
Marinsky.
I worked with Douglas Adams on the Infocom game, which, again, I never played. So it'd be pretty worthless. I'm just
completely missed.
I'll just be the laugh track for this episode. So
you're just here to get spoilers.
There
to
you
have
go.
The book ruined for you.
That's right.
There's the misconception I had, because being young and my friends reading the book, that's how I thought it came out, that it was a book first, and then they adopted it into a radio play and then film and all that, and then. But actually, it was
the
other way around, which I didn't know.
Right.
So I thought that was interesting. But there's something definitely Python-esque about...
He wrote for Monty Python.
Yeah. He definitely...
He wrote for Doctor Who.
He worked for the BBC, so back then you were pretty much staff writer. So yes, he worked on Doctor Who and Monty Python.
I didn't know he wrote for Monty Python.
Probably nothing as famous as like the Blue Dead Parrot sketch or anything, but you know, he was... In a few sketches, yes.
Nice. That's actually where I was going to go, right? You've never even seen the BBC series?
No, maybe offhand. I mean, I know all the, you know, all the sayings, you know, about thanks for all the fish and never could get the handle of Thursdays.
Yeah.
And, you know, they talk about Babelfish. You know, now I finally get, you know, why that translation site was called Babelfish. It's like, oh, okay, I get it now. So I probably could have saved myself some... pop culture references, having read the book, you know, these last 40 years or so.
So you're sitting there going, why does everyone say 42 is the answer to everything?
Right.
But I do have, like, an inkling that I had heard some of the radio play, or at least a portion, I don't know if on PBS or something like that.
Okay.
You know, but just, it's such a popular work, even if you haven't read it, you kind of... absorb some
yes.
things. Kind of like Star Wars. I mean, if you've never seen Star Wars,
what?
You know, you
Who's
definitely
never seen Star Wars?
Hear...
at our age. But you know, now I'm going on a tangent. John,
sorry.
The kids at John's school, they know nothing of the original. They only know of the second trilogy.
Well, the thing is, and I know this has nothing to do with Hitchhikers, but Star Wars. My kids know everything there is to know about Star Wars. And you know why? Lego Star Wars on the Xbox 360. Right? I'm like, you have... And I told them, you can't play until you watch the movies. So you watch the movies.
There you go.
There's no Lego Hitchhiker's Guide, though.
That would be
there
awesome,
should be.
It would be amazing. Yeah. You're just like sad little Marvin walking around. No.
Well,
but you can
destroy
only make
the
pieces
world.
Of 42
pieces.
And that's your
billion
set.
Lego blocks.
That's right, when the world gets destroyed.
So CJ, I know you were kind of AWOL with us for a little while, but then when I told you we were doing this, you said, oh my God, I've got to be part of this. And
right.
Here we are in your kitchen.
I'm not AWOL, I just quiet. But, okay, so, yeah, late 70s, somehow... My Hitchhiker's Guide story is probably a little different than somebody else's, because the reason I even read it was because I was watching David Letterman one night. I was up too late, probably later than I should have been at that age. And I still lived in my parents' house in Scottsdale, so I couldn't have been more than 11 or 12. And I'm watching this guy talk to David Letterman, and his name is Douglas Adams, and he's talking about this book, and he's holding up this book with the little green planet on it, and the Don't Panic, and he's talking about it, and all I can think of is, oh my gosh, that sounds so cool. And like, he's talking about where it came from, what it's about, but all I can think of is, I want to read this book, and I made my mom take me to Kmart the next day to buy the book, and I like read it, and I handed it to my brother, and he read it, and then we read it again, and then and it just became like something my brother and I did, like we had to read these books. And so that was actually how I came about it. Like, it was just the minute he made, and, you know, and then we of course found out, you know, the BBC things, and we got the radio shows, and we just everything that we could absorb on it. My brother and I were just obsessed with it. I should have had him over so he could be on here. He would love. Let me see if I can get him to send some content in.
Douglas Adams isn't with us anymore, though. We couldn't have had him.
No, my brother. My brother. But so yeah. So and then when the movie came out, recently.
Which one? The new movie?
The recent movie.
There's only one
that's
movie.
Nothing like
well,
the,
I,
right. It was a really big deal. I mean, and I have all the small books, you know, the original. I have the original blue book with the planet on it, and I have, you know, all the paperbacks, and then I have the big leather bound edition with all the books in it. And I also have a giant like coffee table book
mm-hmm.
of it.
Yeah,
like,
I have that. It's bright white, isn't it?
No, mine is green.
Well, mine's white. Okay.
I might have a green. I have another one. I have a lot of them. But I've just always loved. And the music. We could listen to Dr. Demento, and they'd play the Marvin I Love You song. Had to be one of my favorite. Marvin, I love you. You know that song?
No.
You don't know that song.
Is that from the movie?
No. It's actually a Dr. Demento song. They played on Dr. Demento. It's not a Dr. Demento song, but it's a song they played on. And I can't think of the band that sings it. But I can get you a copy. I'm sure I can Groove Shark it.
The Radiohead song. I know that. Paranoid Android is based on Marvin the Martian.
It's like this girl's voice. She's like, Marvin, I love you. Marvin, I love you. Remember, I'm programmed for you. You know this song, right?
I've heard it, yes.
Yeah, and then it just goes on and Marvin's talking and he's all depressed. And then she and then she comes on and she's like, but Marvin. And she's like this really, I don't know. I love the song.
Marvin in the movie never worked for me. The little bulbous.
But it was played by Alan Rickman. And
the voice was perfect for
and
it.
I thought it looked good.
Yeah.
But you know, we can get to the movie. I know you seem like you're very eager to get to the movie.
No,
but
that's fine.
Alan Rickman can do anything, and I'm happy. So
a young Alan Rickman.
I don't
just
care. Alan Rickman is like one of the sexiest men to ever live. Oh my God. Okay,
well,
so sorry.
Anyway, speaking of a brain the size of a planet, got a brain the size of the planet. And all you want me to do is open doors. Dan.
Hey. Wow, that's a segue. Thank you. Well, I sent you audio, so I won't rehash any of that. But I would like to mention, since folks have already talked about the leather-bound edition, I have that same book. But on mine, on the spine, Universe and Galaxy are transposed. So it says Hitchhiker's Guide to the Universe and the Restaurant at the End of the Galaxy. And I should like have that locked up somewhere.
Yes.
But it's on my bookshelf because it's copy that I like show off to people. It's like, you've got to check this out, because people who understand it, they get the joke and they're like freak out. But yes, that's my personal favorite copy of it. But I've got the DVDs of the show and the movie, and I like every version of it. None of the versions suck. I am a huge fan of the Disney movie because it was different. You know, it's yes, it wasn't the same story, but every version of the story was different. And Adams had a hand in the movie before he passed. So.
And I did play the Infocom game. I don't know if you...
Yes, I started with the Infocom game.
Not the worst. The one where I had to do the pan of keys, that was the worst. The Infocom games I used to play, that was Leather Goddesses of Phobos.
Oh, yeah.
That was a good one, yes.
I played that one.
I worked at this little store called Software Galleria as like a receptionist, and when there was nobody in the store, I had this little... computer that I would just sit and play the Hitchhiker's
Guide. That's how I got started with Hitchhiker's too.
Yeah.
Now I made that stupid intro, but I got started with
that very funny.
But speaking of which, our house is being run over by a
bulldozer.
Yes.
Wait, I'll go lie down in front of
it. In your bathroom.
That'll stop it.
So that you got, Rhea got into it
through the game as well.
Yeah. So let's get right into it, since you've been chomping at the bit to trash the movie.
No, that's okay.
So go ahead, Rhea Ebert is now going to give us her thumbs down.
And it's been a while since I've seen the movie, and I had commented on this, and we haven't had a chance to rewatch it. But as I recall, they played up the romance between Arthur and Trillian.
Yes.
Which wasn't in... later on, like, I think she has his son or something like that.
Daughter, Random.
Daughter, Random, in the later books. But at the beginning, it was all Zaphod as far as she was concerned. So that bothered me. And then they'd visited, was it the planet Phogon? Anyways, in the books it was abandoned. They had long since left it.
They had to go get Trillian back, so they go to Phogon and...
But in the books, the planet Phogon is a wasteland. They've long since... And yes, you're absolutely right, Dan. The movie on itself was a fine movie, and it, you know...
It would not be my introduction to the series for people. I would say watch it after everything else.
But I think, to a certain extent, it bugged me because of the little things.
Sure.
But you're absolutely right. The movie of itself was fine. And I was saying earlier, I really have to... You know, movies don't really tick me off that.
Well,
so this one didn't tick me off. It just...
It's Hollywood, though. And it gives an actual plot to the movie. Because The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy and all the books, there's no plot,
No,
really.
That's true.
Right.
Like, really, all of a sudden, there's just a bowl of petunias and a whale falling
yeah.
in the sky. You're like, why?
And the movie did have Zooey Deschanel, so I was fine with it.
Yeah.
It was a good movie.
Well, they tried to do plots, like when Zaphod was trying to find out who really ruled the galaxy in the books.
Well, yeah, and the whole cricket thing where they were trying to...
Yeah, Van and I discussed that, how the, you know, that was such a departure. Actually, here's a little story I have. I actually read it originally through the increasingly inaccurately named trilogy,
right.
which they stopped
yes.
doing that joke now. But I read the first four books in that compendium, then I went out and bought Mostly Harmless. That was how I read it. So it all blurred together. And then the girl I was going out with at the time, she read through the whole series, and she said, oh my God, that third book is so bad. She said, it's terrible. And to me, I thought it was all one huge book.
Yeah.
But now that I've been rereading it, I do know, and actually, I don't want to rehash my conversation with Van too much, but I think the series does have it. I mean, we can't put Douglas Adams on too high of a pedestal. The series has its ups and downs. It absolutely does. I think it does. I think they're... But now that's another thing that Ray and I think are on the same page about. I've not actually finished rereading Mostly Harmless, and it's been almost 20 years since I read it. But I think it's brilliant. It's got all the same wit. There's some long passages where that wit kind of vanishes in the third and fourth book, I think. But the fifth book is really witty. It's that, you know, that Douglas Adams genius is there. So I know people diss that book, but I'm enjoying it. I'm enjoying rereading it.
Why'd you say that? It's
you
depressing.
Can sigh that
it's
again.
Sad.
It does end with holy crap.
Pretty definite. Yeah.
Right. I'm curious to read book six because how do you? But then again, I guess he. Of course, it's all right there for him to.
Sure.
To say, oh well, that's just another universe.
Yeah.
Anyway, I will turn it back over. So say
I
something
just
nice
spoke.
About.
Oh, now say something nice about the movie.
About whatever you want.
About whatever I want.
Yes. About
Jack's
Rat.
Cute. Okay. Rat's a cutie pie.
Wow.
Yes, this is the Ratapalooza. Rat is very cute.
You can sigh that again.
Rhett only has one head and two arms, though.
Yeah.
Rhett?
Oh, that reminds me.
Yes?
So, when I first got into BBSing,
yeah.
Like, you know, you all know what BBSs are,
yes.
right?
Yes.
Okay. My username, I actually went by Trillian.
Really?
I just thought I'd share that.
Awesome.
I was Trillian for many years before, you know, everybody else started being Trillian.
Sure.
Before I became Twinkler Girl.
Okay, say something nice. My brain stopped working.
About it doesn't even have to be about the movie. This
I wasn't going to say it about the movie. I was just saying in the miniseries, the BB miniseries, Zaphod was the coolest. That second head was the coolest.
You do a lot of things with prosthetics.
Yes.
You know, it was pretty awesome with how they were able to get away with in that.
And my mind just, wow.
Prosthetics?
You can do a lot of things with it. Then he says prosthetic. I was like, oh, totally different subject.
Yeah, that's completely different.
Sorry.
And actually, I'm going to disagree with you. I think his second head almost is unwatchable. The effects are so bad. I was a little nervous to recommend to Red. And to anyone out there, I'm a little bit nervous to recommend watching the BBC series because you're going to see this guy with this dummy robotic papier-mâché head on his shoulder.
That's the charm of it.
But you know what? Doesn't Jack look a little bit like what Zaphod would look like in character if you get another
if you
Jack
only had
head.
One head?
Right.
If Zaphod, he does. He's got the kind of the Zaphod look.
Thank
but
you.
See, what I liked about the BBC series, all of it is terrible. I mean, the Vogons are these rubber suits.
Yeah, they're like
but
garbage
it's
bags.
Great.
Yeah. I grew up watching Doctor Who, so I forgive bad special
effects,
exactly. But it's hard to recommend. It's hard to say to someone, hey, go watch an old Tom Baker episode. You're going to love it. Because if they're not ready to see Zaphod's rubber head on his shoulder, or, you know, and Trillian is so missing persons. You know, she's got the makeup and she's so Madonna, 1983.
Well, this is like in the 70s when it was filmed?
Yeah.
Yeah, so this is a very 70s show.
Yeah, all the men wear lipstick. It's very...
Too many kids in the hall? Is that what you're trying to say?
It's not that Canadian.
I mean, if you think 70s Doctor Who,
yeah,
like you just said, this is right then there. That BBC series is right.
Now, what's missing from the film, which is in the miniseries, is the restaurant at the end of the universe, which is, I'm so disappointed that they didn't make a sequel to the film. Even I think it's Rhea's fault because she didn't like it that they didn't make a sequel.
Don't you just want to see the cow walk into the bar and like, yes, introduce itself and like be all, like, well, this is what part of me tastes the best? And
that,
like,
scene's in the miniseries, but yeah, I want to,
yes,
see it done.
No,
right,
and, but it wasn't in the the movie. Like, yeah,
right,
I want to see it done on,
well,
the
they,
big screen.
They set it up
now,
to
and,
make a sequel.
And now,
yeah,
if they do a sequel, it's that the worst part's going to be that it's going to be in 3D.
Right.
Nobody wants
that. And all the actors are like 10 years older, too.
Wow, has it really been that? 2005 is when the movie came out. So
yes.
It's getting there. Yeah.
A few more years.
Zoe's still fine, though.
Yeah.
She is. Isn't her name Katy Perry now? No, different person? That's right.
No, she can be Trillium, well, so.
So there you go.
No, she's too busy being Smurfette. Katy Perry is Smurfette.
Katy Perry is Smurfette?
Katy Perry is Smurfette.
What are Smurfs?
She's married to what's his name, the comedian. The
that horrible, horrible Russell Brand guy. Mm.
Russell Brand, yeah.
Why do I know all this? What has happened to me?
He's very Zaphod, isn't he?
Yes,
Russell Brand,
yes,
yes. Russell Brand
he
would make a
it,
good,
yeah,
Zaphod.
But you still are better looking than him.
Well, that's,
yeah, thank you.
That's got nothing to do with
that. A lot of people are better looking than Russell Brand.
Why
is Katy Perry married to Russell Brand?
Have you seen Katy Perry? Seriously, why is she not married to Russell Brand?
She's beautiful.
Really? She's psychotic looking.
I think she's
beautiful.
She's
probably psychotic. But, you know.
Russell Brand is scary looking.
So Hitchhiker's Guide was a
good one. That's what's brilliant, though, about this story. There's so many tangents in all of his work.
That's true.
This is totally normal, Jack.
That's right.
There's probably a guide entry on tangents somewhere.
Somebody hit the improbability drive.
Yeah,
that's right.
I think that's what happened.
This isn't improbable what we're doing.
Well, what's funny, what I love about Hitchhiker's Guide... What I love about it is that, like, every once in a while, somebody will quote it. Like,
yeah,
somebody random will quote it. And then all of a sudden, you're like, you're my friend. Because you know. Like, you know. And then you say something about
it's
it. Like,
the secret handshake.
It is. It's like there's a large population of people that know it and understand it. But finding one of those people is so rare. I mean, but I mean, obviously at cons and stuff like that where it's all intelligent, you know, nerdy people, then yes, everybody knows. But like if I'm at work and I say something to somebody, like I had my birthday party. I had my Hitchhiker's Guide themed birthday party because I just turned 42. What else would I do, right? And, you know, it's like, don't ban. And I had so many people that were like messaging me like, oh, this is the coolest idea ever, you know. And I'm like, really? You read it? And it's like, yeah. And they're like all sending me, you know, pictures of them with their towels and everything. And I was like, whoa, you know, because you don't know. You don't know until you make that connection. And then once you connect with somebody over Hitchhiker's Guide, it's like, it's just really kind of awesome.
Yeah.
I just have to say.
And it is one of the last things we have left that pop culture hasn't stolen from us. I think Star Wars has been taken from us. Mm. And it's fine, you know, because kids are embracing it. But it's not ours anymore. Star Trek isn't really ours anymore.
So you think that's what's going to happen when they do finally make the Lego Hitchhiker's Guide? We're going to lose it.
Yeah, it's time there's a Lego Hitchhiker's Guide.
That would be awesome.
It would really... There's not a Lego
Star
Trek.
I don't think
Star
it's
Trek.
Lego that would do it. As if they redid it... Like, I know they just did the movie, what, 7 years ago? Or we were saying 6 years ago. But it didn't catch on with the kids.
Well, no. Yeah.
Not like the Star... I know nobody likes the second Star Wars trilogy who grew up with the first one. But the kids...
the kids really
embraced it. So if they came out with the trilogy, just say the first three books, even if... I don't care. I know it goes beyond that. But in the whiz-bang, wow, special effects, which the movie didn't really have...
No, it didn't.
It would suddenly be co-opted and we would be...
Well, I think the problem with it is that it's too smart.
Yes. And too weird. It is too weird.
Well,
yeah,
the weirdness the kids would get. Because, I mean, we read it when we were kids, right?
But
we played the game. When we played text adventures when we were kids.
But
you're talking about smart,
nerdy
kids. Now that... I mean, yeah, now. But, like, the majority... And I'm not saying the kids aren't smart now. I'm just saying that I think they...
They're all on our lawn.
Dang it. But yes, I have, it's rare that I run across someone, you know, who, like, my kids will totally love this stuff because, you know, my kids were excited.
My daughter did. She read it when she was 13. She
yeah,
read
my,
the whole, 'cause
my
I
kids,
it
I've got them into Harry Potter already, and I mean, they love all the stuff that I love. and they love, you know, Star Trek and they love Star Wars, but that's because I'm giving it to them. Mm-hmm. What about the parents who don't give it to them? Their kids, you know, they're not going to get it.
And then, it depends upon the kids, because...
But I mean,
those
I did
away from their parents.
On a tangent, I did Netflix the Star Trek cartoon series.
That was amazing. We have that too.
Well, you know, the one medium that this has not been in yet is in fully, you know, like cartoon form, and I think it would do well. They could make a full featured cartoon out of this, and I think
South Park should do an episode.
That would be awesome.
Yes,
Kenny as Marvin is kind of wanders.
I'm going to write to them.
A two-headed South Park.
Oh my gosh!
Because actually, that's something. You know, Zaphod's second head was handled interestingly in the movie. Mm-hmm. Where I liked it because it wasn't so distracting, but at the same time, it wasn't right. It was good, but it wasn't right.
Yeah.
And you're right. In an animated way, they could make it so it's not this awful papier-mâché thing that's going to fall off.
What about just a TV series in general? There's enough there. You could make a TV show.
They've gone and redone the other books as radio plays in the BBC.
Yes.
I think they could, with a different cast, obviously, but they could revisit the miniseries.
They could do it.
I mean, they brought Doctor Who back, right?
Very successfully.
Revamped the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy as a miniseries.
It would still only appeal to the nerds
with Russell Davis,
but he's
the
Doctor
guy
who
did Doctor
writer.
Who.
Oh.
But the
Never
first
seen an
couple
of Doctor
Who, couple
so.
Of seasons,
that's it.
He
I'm
stopped
up
the last two or three seasons. He stopped doing them.
Yeah,
and they're okay, but you just can tell he's not doing them.
Mm.
And you're like, yeah, okay, that's nice. I've never seen it.
I put it in my Netflix streaming, and I don't have time.
I'm PVRing Torchwood this weekend.
PVR, is that the same as DVR? I'm just kind of curious.
Yes.
It's the Canadian DVR.
Sorry. Right. Oh, I watch this Secret Life of the American Teenager.
Involves
Mac
Bacon.
I worked Eureka. I did like that.
We still had the first two seasons of Eureka, and then at the time we were... Because we don't watch a lot of TV, even though it sounds like it. And we want to go back to it. And I think it's on Netflix in Canada, which would be really bizarre. So we do want to, but we haven't. Which is totally not Hitchhiker.
Well, no, but do you know what? That's one of the things I liked about Eureka, is that it had a lot of that kind of, like, unrealistic...
But they didn't have an improbability drive on Eureka?
But they could have.
They could have.
But
they
had something that they could have.
They had a house with a personality.
Sure.
They did. And
was it depressed?
And they had a
robot.
Or
was it really happy like Eddie?
Hi!
Welcome home!
Was that the robot police officer?
No,
it was
the elevators.
They had a robot police officer.
Yeah.
Okay.
They had a robot police officer in Eureka who was like the opposite of Marvin.
Oh.
He's like, hi there, I'm helping you, here to help you, you know. But he's like an android, and he's like all happy and cheerful. And
they
just
had that in Fallout New Vegas.
I wanted to punch him in the face. He was so happy. I was like, you know,
that's the Marvin in you trying to get out. So
I am a little
you
bit
should not be that because
y'all know how I'm so depressed and
they had that in Fallout New Vegas. They had this robot that would follow you around. It. He was.
We saw at Disneyland. We saw Osimo. Did you go see Osimo?
I wasn't at Disneyland.
You didn't go to Disneyland.
No,
you
went
to Lego World.
That's right. They don't have Osimo.
Lego World, that's a door, huh? Hello.
Lego World. Right, we have the
that's
Lego.
That's in Florida.
Why did they go to somebody else? Lego
World?
But they have, we get to see Osimo, the robot, made by Honda.
In Scandinavia somewhere. There's
and he runs.
World, yeah.
It's a running robot. And he's not happy or unhappy, but he's a robot.
Indifferent.
But he's Osimo.
But he's Osimo. And it was very cool
robot.
To see Osimo. So and he looked a lot like Marvin from the movie, in a
with
way.
Big head?
With the big round head.
He didn't
head.
Have the
like
big round
snowball.
Head, but he was like white and he had a round head, but he like could run like 4 miles an hour, and which for a robot's actually pretty cool. And he can go up and down stairs, and so we're getting closer and closer to being able to have our own paranoid android.
So he can get away from Daleks then, since he can go up and down stairs.
Well,
Daleks
can
do stairs now.
Yeah, they
I've
float.
Heard that. Yeah, I've heard this. This is a whole new world.
They fly.
And they're different colors. Anyway, so
yeah, they are.
Hitchhiker's Guide.
Yes.
It was a good book, I heard. Yeah. Someone told me.
It's a good
book. So, does anyone know, has there ever actually been made a Hitchhiker's Guide? Like, the electronic thing that you carry around?
You
yes.
know,
yes.
It's a smartphone. You carry one around with you everywhere
I was
going
to say, you know, being that this is the first time I was introduced to what the Hitchhiker's Guide actually was, I was thinking... You know, he was describing it as electronic book.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it could hold something like several libraries. And I was like, hey, it's a Kindle. The Hitchhiker's Guide is a Kindle.
It's a smartphone with access to the internet because
you get
crappy articles.
So it actually exists now.
But
right.
What he did, like maybe a couple years before he passed, is he created a website called H2G2. com, which was, it's on the BBC now. They've sort of taken over control of it. And it's very much like Wikipedia in that it's user-submitted stories, but they're all about life, the universe, and everything. And you submit stories, and people can review them and make them official. So it's more like actual submitting a story to the guide than Wikipedia, where you can go in and change it afterwards. So it was out about the same time that Wikipedia started, but he wanted a different spin on it. Something like people could actually submit to a real guide, and you can get to it on the web.
Well,
it's still around.
Way back when, like, it wasn't a real Hitchhiker's, but you could get the little plastic with the green face on it. It was just a toy. It couldn't do really. I think it beeped and booped.
I think my next smartphone is going to have a Hitchhiker's guide like cover that makes it look like the actual.
Well, all you have to do is make your front page. Just
see, don't
find
panic.
It. Yeah.
Actually, an iPad really is closer. I mean,
right.
Either way, it's
right.
it's full of the internet.
I can't afford an iPad.
Oh, it's inaccurate. Just
stick with my cheap
right.
ass LG Ally phone.
But you know, badly written articles that are not really true and trustworthy. I mean, that's the internet. You know,
right.
That's why I mean I've made this comment at conventions, and I think I made it to Van, so I don't mind repeating myself over and over. But you know, we're there. So now all we need to do is throw ourselves at the ground and miss.
That's right.
That's right.
I'm working on that.
Which
like
I think,
a bowl of petunias.
Actually, it looks like
think,
CJ's been trying to do that.
I think you yes. I think you commented that that's kind of one of the downhill points. Or did you like that?
I like the concept. I mean, the whole... Because she... From the time he met her, she never touched the ground, which is not the same as flying.
Right.
You know, she sort of hovered above the air as she walked. So that was kind of... But, you know, the whole idea, it's really easy to fly, just simply throw yourself at that. That's logical.
It was a funny joke, but I think it was a little too cutesy, and it did go a little too far.
But the whole thing with Fenchurch, who was the original girl, real spoiler, at the beginning of the first book, there's this girl who has this great idea for world peace. It would work. It was great, and
right.
nobody had to be nailed to a piece of wood.
Right.
She shows up in, is it the third book? The
fourth.
Third, fourth
is
book.
It? Oh, she does.
So fourth.
Okay.
And she literally walks on air.
Yeah.
And she becomes, Arthur's romantic interest.
Yeah.
Right.
So, it was, the romantic interest part was a little forced, I admit, but...
Actually, even halfway through that book, I think even Douglas Adams knew it wasn't going well. Halfway through the book, he says, like, oh, and if you don't want to read this, then skip ahead, then there's a funny thing with Marvin. That joke is actually, you know, in one of the middle chapters. I think, you know, he was, no offense to the two. I mean, I said in the other episode, he was a brilliant, brilliant writer, brilliant man.
He took a lot of baths, too.
He did.
He did. That was his procrastination technique. He would avoid his editor by just staying in the bath, and that's why there's the joke with the captain in the spaceship.
My dog
who was always
bark.
Was in a bath for 3 years, and that's where the joke about the towels comes from too, because he always one day he got out of his bath he couldn't find his towel, so he figured somebody really smart would know where their towel was, and that's where that joke came from.
And the rubber ducky, I guess.
Well, the most important thing about the towel though is because if you are ever in the vicinity of a ravenous bug, bladder, beast of trawl, you have to put your towel over your head because. The ravenous bug bladder beast of Trawl thinks that if it can't see
if you can't see it, it can't see
the ostrich
you.
Ostrich syndrome.
Huh?
The ostrich.
Yeah.
But that's the whole joke about the towel.
So Pangalactic Gargle Blaster recipes.
Yes.
I'm looking at you, Dan.
I have a website with a couple
that
I've created.
Yeah, you can get them.
Really?
Yeah.
Which is the idea of getting your head... Drinking one is like
out.
Having a... being hit over the head with a...
slice of lemon
wrapped around
a large gold brick.
Yes.
Okay, never mind then.
Okay.
And he keeps picking fuzz out of his pocket. I don't know why. Lint out of your pocket. And a babblefish in your ear.
Yeah.
Babblefish. Yeah, what a brilliant concept.
And I had
little wiggly slime.
I don't know why he took it out when he got home.
I was playing the Infocom game. I just remember to get the babblefish, you had to like you're on the Vogon ship.
Yes,
I believe you're on the Vogon ship, and you're in this like chamber, and you have to like cover the drain with your towel, stick your hand in the something, do something, hit a button, and then
you
the babblefish
the mail that you got from home,
the mail,
and your towel,
right,
and the satchel,
and everything.
And
yes,
so much
everything
stuff.
Has a place, and you have to do it, and then the babblefish flies out and lands and goes right into your ear, and then you can understand the Vogon poetry. Which who really wants to understand Vogon poetry? Not me. That's like listening to my poetry.
post.
Bad.
Oh, so you're that's the best. That's a great joke. Where he says the worst poetry in the world, and he's with some girl in Essex. You know, her poetry is actually the worst poetry. In the
that would be mine. I used to live in Essex.
And, I'm not gonna find the joke. So.
Nancy Millstone Jennings.
That
wow. That's.
I'm gonna leave the room.
Yeah, exactly.
Is that really her name?
Yes,
wow.
I've read the book way too many times.
Probably do that with Harry Potter, but I can't do that with Hitchhikers.
Which, it was also, there was a woman who was a horrible poet, and that's who he had to change her name.
What was the phone number at the flat?
No, I don't remember, but it's 2 to the power of something. It was the same.
It was an 867-5309. That would be my first guess.
That's Jenny.
Jenny.
I know
oh.
that number
no,
too
not,
well.
Nyan, right?
Nyan?
Yes.
867-5309.
I don't know. Just go look on some bathroom wall and we'll find it.
Hitchhiker's trivia, go.
No, I'm thumbing through the book, and actually, oh, look, at the end of this, there is an interview with Zooey Deschanel. I'm going to take this.
He'll be in his bunk.
I'll be in my bunk, yes. And she actually said that she read the first book when she was 11. How about that?
There you go.
Well, this is a newer copy of the book than what I
yes,
have.
Yes,
clearly.
This actually has the movie
poster.
Now a motion picture.
Yes.
Mine is like all beat up and bruised. At least it has the cover on it, unlike my book 1984, which I've read more often. It doesn't even have a cover on it anymore. So.
Wow, that's quite a difference. Quite a swing from 1984.
Yeah, it's like one of my favorite books. 1984 is one of my all-time favorite books, so...
It's a good Van Halen album, too.
it's
not
a jump.
I had a direction
totally
to go, and I lost it. So am I the only one who's willing to go on a venture through the sixth book, or not?
I've started listening to it.
I'll read it if you want.
So we should do that. Let's.
I'll read it.
Let's
I
put
just
a,
need it.
Do the Fantastic Four pact thing. We're actually doing that. No, trust us. All our hands are out. But let's read the sixth book and... We'll suffer through it if it's not good, or if it's as bad as everyone's saying, then we'll get through it.
I think, since I haven't finished reading it, I think most people don't give it credit because it's not Douglas Adams, right? I mean, it's not going to be the same style. If he did do it in the same style, I might almost be offended because you can't copy that style.
I feel
right?
remiss in the fact that I don't even know about this, to be honest.
And another thing, the book by Owen Colfer is a...
It's official. It's
yes.
the official.
The official
yeah.
sequel. I mean, yes.
Douglas Adams' family chose
said, yes.
Owen Colfer.
Said, please give us another book, because they were depressed by Mostly Harmless, and they said, please give us another book.
And he did say Owen Colfer did say when I saw him speak live that a seventh book is not impossible. It's not out of the realm of possibility. And then I stood up and said, but everybody hates that book. No, I didn't say that. But
I'm willing to give it a try. You know. But,
I'll read it too. I can't
so
get it through my iPad, or I would have bought it right now. But
three of us are. Well, I mean, I'm not there yet. I need to finish book five.
I'm gonna need to read through
the iPad
to get there.
Bookstore sucks.
I'll
just
have to read it. Basically,
it doesn't even have the first one.
Really?
I'll just send it to my Kindle. I have a Kindle that I have
I'll
sent like seven or eight
Sony.
Books to, but I have yet to take it out of the.
Really.
I
live
this,
on my Sony.
Is this, I send it to my Kindle, and my Kindle's in my suitcase, and someday I'm going to take my Kindle out and look at all the books I've downloaded to it.
I don't even read paper books anymore. I
have paper books that I'm still reading, but I'm collecting books on my Kindle now, so they take up a lot less space than the paper books I was collecting.
If you subscribe to the Nightshade Books newsletter, every once in a while they'll put up a free ebook of from their library.
So Hitchhiker's Guide, which is,
which is not even on the iPad store, by the way. See, I was
yeah,
in there.
No, I'm just kidding. Now, I guess, and I'm going to start with you, Rhett, and maybe we're ready to wind down and wrap up. But now you don't find actually in this reread, and I agree, CJ, that opening is fantastic. But he does reference digital watches, which is kind of dated. And now for you as a first time going through this,
yeah.
does it feel The old miniseries is way dated, but I mean,
yes,
even the
yes.
books, the books are definitely dated. He makes a lot of references where it's kind of like, wow, I vaguely remember that, or even like, okay, this is England 1981 and I don't get it.
Right.
But are you having that experience as a first
well,
time?
Well, I definitely had that thought about the digital watches because I'm old enough. I remember when digital watches were cool.
Yes.
You know, I remember my first digital watch, and then I got one that talked. You know, and it's like, yeah, I'm kind of fitting the joke that he's making about, you know, gonna look, we're born and we die in between times, so we're all, you know, fascinated by these digital watches that we wear. So I thought it's kind of a dated concept, but I thought it was kind of a good satire on humanity.
It's that old "we live in the future" thing again.
Yeah,
we live in the future. Aren't we lucky?
Hey, isn't this magical?
Well, I mean, in my opinion, I don't think the books are so dated that they're going to vanish. It's not like Logan's Run, you know, where...
Oh, Logan's
sorry.
Run.
Sorry.
I love Logan's Run.
Logan's Run, too.
Sorry.
On a different tangent, I have a personal letter written by Michael York, handwritten in his handwriting to me, because when I was like 10, I wrote to him and said, please... He wrote me a letter back, and I have the signed picture and everything.
That is fantastic.
By Michael York.
Not from his Austin Powers role.
No, this was before, this was about Logan's Running.
No, I know. Yeah, actually a very good friend of mine was Logan 5 at Photon, and now his son is named Logan. So I understand, you know, the Logan fanaticism. And there, I'm using that word again. But
yeah, take a shot.
But and CJ's making funny faces on that you can't see on pod.
I can't. No, sorry, it's a personal issue.
Oh, with my friend.
Yes, your friend.
Yes. But anyway,
I'm just giggling to myself.
So Hitchhiker's Guide is not, in my opinion, it's not too dated. But if someone were to say to me that they feel like it's really dated, I couldn't argue the point too strongly, because it is.
And it depends upon the age group. Like an 11-year-old today, because we all seem to have read it more or less around. As you said, digital watches are, you know, you give it to a kid and they'll go, what the hell's a digital watch?
Uh-huh. You know? Well, you could have said smartphones, you know, wouldn't be current now until the next iPhone thing.
Yeah.
Is it that they don't know what digital watches are because that's the only kind of watch they get? Because most of the watches I see now are analog. More often, actually.
Exactly, that's why I said they would look at it and go, what's a digital watch? Because they don't see, nobody wears digital watches anymore. Or calculator watches.
Because on Woot, last night's Woot was actually like 6 digital watches.
Where? Sorry?
On Woot.
Well,
I'm just saying.
Nobody wanted them?
They were water-resistant digital watches. Mm. A little...
Woot. I mean, a digital watch is
what
just
about
a
clocks?
Small clock, right?
We have digital clocks.
Clock.
Most
That's
clocks are digital.
Saying.
I mean, not my bird clock's not digital, but, you know, if you want to...
Your clock on your stove is digital.
But my clock on my stove is digital. So we do still use digital time machines.
Time machines.
Because it's easier to
punch in the ear.
It's easier to punch in the ear than have to spin the dial.
There's no flux capacitor here.
But do they have giant bathtubs for the captain to be in your time digital time machine?
There should be a bathtub everywhere. I don't know what you're talking about. I like bathtubs.
And actually, that's something I didn't touch on, so I'm going to make this...
The bathtub?
I'm going to declare this. No, I never touched
Jack has not touched in my bathtub.
I never touched the bathtub.
Fix that, I'm just saying.
But there was all that time travel in the books, too, that
yes.
doesn't really get brought up often, because it's... People think, like, oh, it's just making fun of Star Trek and Star Wars, and I think it goes way beyond that, but... But yeah, I mean, there's so much time travel, and he certainly runs amok with the concept. And I think he does it brilliantly. I think it's all fun, and it's all stuff that you can't...
And it's, yeah, you're right, it's time, and I hate shows with time travel in it. They're one of my little pet peeves,
yeah,
but
I
I'm okay
travel.
With this.
I love time travel.
I hate time travel.
It's one of my favorite
shows.
Things,
they're
especially
like
in, like, Bill
kids.
And Ted.
Yeah.
And,
well, there can be fun, you're right, Bill and Ted is fun.
Primer.
But, you know, you sit in there... And, you know, oh, I have to kill my grandma. Really? You know, and there are fun movies. Like, Time Rider was fun, but I still hate the time travel part of it. It's just like,
Back
really?
To the Future is, to me, that's the pinnacle. Anyway.
Yeah,
I was just saying, I was waiting.
I just
to interrupt with more time travel movies that
I love. I just don't like the paradox.
Or TV shows. I mean.
Actually, I'm on board. I agree 100%. Yeah, it bugs me. But go on.
No, I'm done.
So that's it about the time travel?
Yeah. Well, one of my favorite parts about the whole time travel thing was, do you remember the alien who came down when Arthur Dent had gone backwards and forwards in time? The, lands his ship, he comes out. Are you Arthur Dent? He's like, yes, I'm Arthur Dent. You are a complete asshole. And he gets back in the ship and he walks away. It's another book later
that
you
find
out
yes.
this guy is going around in alphabetical order through time and space telling everyone that they're an asshole. I mean, that's one of
my
favorite
gosh,
time travel bits.
Just the other day.
Yeah. Got to the F's, did he?
Okay. F for what? For no, I'm kidding. No. But yeah, that's true, and thank you for bringing that. That's another one of those priceless moments that's just so brilliant that
Sorry.
You're reading it and going, this is brilliant. Yes. F for footsies.
Sorry. As unintentional footsies.
Okay.
I was going to ask you, are your kids interested in Monty Python or anything yet? Have they seen anything?
Monty Python does get a little bit bawdy at times.
It,
so
it,
I've,
no.
I've only introduced them, like they've seen the silly
Benny
Walls.
Hill then.
No.
I was gonna, you know, I was thinking the same thing. I was like, oh, you know what? My parents used to have Benny Hill on. Wait,
yeah.
I was way too young to
yeah.
see Benny Hill.
My dad
and yet,
watch, yeah.
And yeah, there would be me and my older brother sitting there going, hee. Yeah, it's
yeah.
like, oh, inappropriate.
Yeah, Benny Hill isn't funny at all, though. And,
but boobs, man, boobs!
Like, right, exactly. That's the whole point. But yeah, Monty Python, I'll definitely show them. You know, and as they get older, they,
right.
can, they can. But yeah, there are certain, like I said,
but,
the Ministry
but
of Silly
the
Walls.
Reason I bring it up is my 13-year-old son just recently kind of found out
just
about it and wanted to, you know, watch the Holy Grail.
Right.
And I think if I was going to introduce him to Hitchhiker's Guide, then I would probably do it via something like, you know, Monty Python, because I'd say, well, it's in the voice of
yeah.
Monty Python, and I was going to tie that onto you talking about it being kind of dated. Well, Monty Python's that same time period. I mean, it's the mid late 70s.
My
dad
has the entire collection, movies and TV
yeah.
series.
So I think in terms of, you know, in a sense, it's sort of timeless because it captures kind of that time period, and I think that would carry forward for you know, if you were trying to introduce future generations, you know, maybe introduce them to Monty Python first, and
sure.
then come back and.
So well, I would agree with that, and if they
you know,
if they get that kind of wacky but dry humor, then I think that they would like.
Well, that's it. This is very British.
Yes,
some of the
very
humor.
British.
Yes.
And what about the T?
What about Red Dwarf? What about Red
well,
Dwarf?
Oh, I
read
Red
it
Dwarf.
When I was 12.
That was a great
yeah.
show.
Yeah. But see, I've only started watching Red Dwarf because it's on Netflix. I've just started watching
I'm
season
eat
one.
You little fishy.
And Red Dwarf is really absurd, and it's definitely not as smart. It's funny, you know.
No, it's not.
I'm kind of forcing myself to continue watching, but it's not.
It does pick up though, and there's a point where you meet an alternate rumor that's just, you know. James Bond.
I don't know what Red Dwarf is.
So you guys haven't seen Red, so it's only okay.
I know what it is, but I haven't
obviously
seen it.
I have
you seen Quark, the series, not the guy from?
No.
Lex, how they closed that bar down?
Yeah.
Man, that place was great.
You mean the drafting software? Right?
Yeah. There was a trying to think of the comedian's name. I might remember.
Bobcat Goldthwait.
Yeah. But in the late 70s, there was a sitcom about this guy in space, and it was very, you know, Monty Python, very Hitchhiker's Guide, and it only lasted like a year, and me and my dad, I mean, we loved it, we thought it was hilarious, but I haven't seen it since I was, you know, 12 years old, so I'm wondering if it'd be horribly dated now, but I know I saw that it was recently on DVD, but it's in a I imagine it being a like American version of Red Dwarf would be.
Okay. You know, you do hear that the two of them mentioned a lot in each other's company, Red Dwarf and Hitchhiker's Guide.
Right.
So that's why I felt, you know, I wanted to at least, I know I'd said like five topics ago, like, okay, this will be the last topic, but I wanted to see.
Well, it's good because I have no idea what Red Dwarf is, so now I'll look that up. I've never heard of it or seen it. Or
it's a British TV show. It lasted 8 or 9 seasons. Although, another tangent, sorry. What really pissed me off, and Dan. Yes, Dan, sorry, will know what I'm talking about since he's seen Red Dwarf, is that the early part of the series, the girl that he really fell in love with, really cute little brunette. And then you meet her later, and she's this tall, blonde female dog, and it pissed me off.
She was
literally,
a dog?
Literally a
no.
dog?
No.
Like,
well, he was
female
a cat,
dog.
Right? So, I mean,
no,
was,
he wasn't a cat.
No, he was with the cat god.
Yes, he was with the cat. A female dog. Think it through.
No, I know what it means. I keep for some reason, all I can picture is
Luna?
Bill Murray saying, my girlfriend's a dog.
Okay, so she's a dog.
She's not gonna...
Well, you know, when you're talking about Red Dwarf, you know, one of the characters is an evolved cat.
Yes.
So, and, you know, I That's why I took you literally.
Right. I don't know anything about it, but that's why I did.
I was
like,
being polite for the deadpan who can't hear me say the word bitch.
Bench?
Just a bench. Not like in a park? Park bench? What?
Sorry. We're all tired and snarky.
B. I.
Give me a T.
T. C. K.
Okay. Yeah, you completely lost me.
Is that a Canadian beer?
Bic.
I wouldn't know.
Sounds German.
Beer.
Right.
All
right.
Pisses
well,
me off too.
I'd say we talked for about 4 hours here, and probably about 10 minutes of it was hitchhikers. I think
42 minutes.
Yes. Perfect.
Yeah. Cut it down to 42.
I'll have to. Just the end. We'll just cut off if somebody's talking. It's gonna be 42 minutes.
42.
Yes.
End of line.
Well, thanks. I think this has been excellent, and I don't know if anyone has any final thoughts or any thoughts at all. In fact, because I don't really. But
you've made it clear that you're brainless today.
Yes. No. Just in general, most days. But I want to thank you all. I want to thank you for coming all the way down here just for this. And thank you very much for the snowball. Actually, we should paint the snowball microphone green.
With a little face on it?
Yes,
don't you want,
face
don't you want
on it.
It says the word blue right on it.
Well, no, green for
I know.
For what is not on this book.
It's a little arm.
Well, so long, and thanks for all the fish. And thank you guys all.
What
for
fish?
Don't panic.
Yep, don't panic.
And if anybody, I'm going to trust anybody else has any final thoughts, comments, then go for it.
I'm done.
You wouldn't get me to shut up if I started giving quotes. So.
Well, go for it. We're at 54 minutes.
What are we going to do?
What's another hour?
Right.
Don't actually, panic. There you go.
We need another good quote. Since you're the scholar here, we need another good one.
Actually, I want
the size of a planet, and you wish me to quote this book. Okay.
How does it feel to be drunk?
Ask a glass of milk.
Ask a glass of water, yeah.
Ask a glass of water. That's one of my favorites.
Water.
I'll never be cruel to a gin and tonic again.
What is that? There's the whole thing about, I think therefore I am, or the God quote.
The Babel fish was a dead giveaway. Okay, so, God said, I refuse to prove that I exist, said God. For proof denies faith, without faith I am nothing. But, says man, the Babel fish is a dead giveaway, isn't it? It proves you exist, so therefore you don't, QED. Oh dear, I hadn't thought of that, said God, and promptly vanished in a puff of logic.
Yes. I love that.
Yes. And what are the books that came out about God?
Well, then Ulan Kalufid wrapped it up with, well, that about wraps it up for God after that.
Right.
Who is this God? Right? Wasn't there another one? Who is this God person?
Anyway.
Yes. He had a trilogy of philosophical blockbusters.
Yes.
Where God went wrong, more of God's greatest mistakes, and who is this God person?
That whole bit in the book was one of my favorite readings. And I probably didn't understand it as much as a child. Like, I loved reading the book as a child. Like, I read it over and over. I just don't remember it as well as I would like to.
Well, I've seen it a bazillion times. And I do prefer the miniseries because it's just the visual appeal of it also, and all the visual sight gags in it just make it even that much more. So.
Do the names get progressively more ridiculous as you go down? I mean,
yes.
You start out
Vroomfondel,
Arthur
Dent, Farty Bart Fast,
Ford Prefect, and Zaphod, Fearbox,
man.
And
Zaphod.
And then,
do you have like,
especially in book
10
one,
10 syllables by the
fifth
book?
Well, there's Farty Bart Fast later.
It's Slarty.
It's gonna. Okay,
he does
last thing.
Fjords.
One last
yes.
thing is, after I moved back to Arizona. And I only used the online name Trillian when I lived in California. When I moved back to Arizona, I never used it again. And I found myself dating a guy from a BBS, and turned out that his prior...
Zaphod.
Was Zaphod. It was pretty interesting.
Highly
no,
improbable.
I mean, it was an improbable thing that happened. And,
highly improbable.
And it was like after we were dating, I was like, oh, I used to go by Trillian. And he was like, if somebody told me he'd gone by Zaphod, I was like, gotta be kidding me. It was such a weird coincidence. But there you go.
All right.
So long and
tumble
weeds.
Yes.
Yes. All right. I'll snap, and that'll be the end. I'll stop that.
Well, yeah, that peaks there.
Yeah.
Sorry, Jack.
No, that's the idea. It's supposed to peak.
Yes.
Sorry.